I want to ask you to take a look at your handout here real quick on the front page. Today is an unusual day. I put here a little picture and a website address on the front of your handout for a very important reason. Today is known around the country as Pulpit Freedom Sunday. It's a day when preachers, I wish there'd be way more, there's going to be hundreds at least, should be hundreds of thousands, are going to break the chains of fear and intimidation that have held them back in what they say and how they say it from their pulpits. The Pulpit Initiative is something that was started 3 years ago by the Alliance Defense Fund based out of Phoenix. I was at a Black Regiment pastor, Patriot pastor, whatever you want to call it, meeting a couple of months ago in Oklahoma City. Eric Stanley is one of the top lawyers for the ADF, and he was there addressing about 50, mostly pulpit preachers, I think. And he talked about this Pulpit Initiative that they started. The reason that they're doing it is because you cannot sue the IRS. It's against the law. You have no legal means. There's no rules that allow you to sue them or bring them into court. Now, I may not be saying that exactly right, but their strategy has to be, according to them, to lure the IRS into bringing you into court. And then they believe they can win great judicial victories if they can get them into court. So what they're doing on Pulpit Initiative or Pulpit Freedom Sunday, the Pulpit Initiative, is they have vetted certain preachers and churches. You had to have signed up for this months ago. And they feel like these guys are able to withstand the scrutiny of the IRS. And then they are going to preach today something that should get their IRS tax-exempt status revoked. They're going to send that on tape or on CD to the IRS and say, here's what I preached today. Feel free to come after me if you want. Amen. Amen. Now, that's in the spirit of, I think, the timing of the Lord in our country when preachers are standing back up and doing the right thing. This has been 3 years in the making. There was 30-some the first year, 80-some the next year, and there'll be about 200 or so, I think, this year. What's the one thing that a preacher can do to pretty much, you'd be surprised, if you go to the IRS website, read what you can say in church and what you can't. It's very easy. Even someone like me can read that site because they give it in story problems. The only thing they could do better is put pictures on there for me. Okay, but if I can understand it, I think just about anybody can. And the bottom line is the only thing that you really can't do, according to the IRS, and this dealt with Lyndon Johnson in 1954, was being preached against from the pulpits in his district in Texas. Because of his record and his character. And so he went to the IRS and devised a scheme and passed it to where churches and preachers can't endorse or ridicule a candidate by name from the pulpit. Or you can get your tax-exempt status revoked. And so preachers ever since then have been self-censoring because of fear ever since. Over 50 years. Because of one guy, this is unbelievable to me. See, the enemy walks about as a roaring lion roaring and trying to produce fear in people, seeking whom he may devour. And those who kowtow in fear to the devil can be devoured by him. Those who do not, cannot. Now, so really the one thing that these guys, I guess, will be doing across the land today is endorsing some political candidate for some office by name. That's the primary thing that's supposedly a no-no. I have prayed about it. I have waited on the Lord. And I have to tell you today, I know of no political candidate that I can endorse by name for any office. So I got to figure out another way to get them mad at me, I guess. Now, if David McLean or Nathan Dom or Randy Brogdon were still in the race, I'd be hollering their names and declaring that from the rooftop. I hope you can understand that from my heart, from my heart of hearts. Now, I also, and at risk of somebody, you know, taking this however you want to take it, I also don't believe that the Lord has told me to join with this effort, the Pulpit Initiative Sunday, in a organized, concerted way. Our audio is always up on the internet. Anybody can hear it anytime they want to. I personally believe the Lord has checked me about going to the IRS and trying to start something with them when there's no need. People who jump on bandwagons normally is because they don't have anything that God's told them to do. So when somebody else comes by that God has told something to someone to do, which I believe there's that God is in this, they'll jump on that because they don't have something God's told them to do. I know a lot of preachers that are that way. Well, until they hear from God, I suppose that's good if it's a God thing. For me, I don't believe the Lord. Matter of fact, I believe the Lord has told me, and you can write this down if you'd like to. I may not be saying it much from the pulpit, but it still will abide here. And that is, I believe he wants Heartland to have 1 foot above ground and 1 foot below ground, underground, if you might say. And we will pursue that model and that structure as best we can in obedience. Not picking a fight with the IRS just to prove that we're not afraid. I didn't burn a Koran. That doesn't mean I'm afraid to burn a Koran. It just means the Lord didn't tell me to do it. If he tells me to burn a Koran, I'll burn a Koran. No, I'm not afraid to. You can judge that if you think I am or not. But point is, these are the ways of God. This is what I am constrained to do or not do according to the leading of God for me. Doesn't mean I'm against any of that. I encourage it. I support it. I'm telling you about it today. I'm glad the preachers, I encourage on the radio today. I'll be doing that right about now, I think, in Arizona, encouraging the preachers there to join with this initiative. Whether you officially do it, because you really would have had to sign up months ago, or if you just do it from your heart and put the audio out there for anybody to hear, then I encourage every preacher to do it. Amen? So, I got to come up with something today that would, I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to have to try really hard, besides endorsing a political candidate, that might make somebody mad at me for what I'm preaching.
Would you explain a little more about the 1 foot above and 1 foot?
No, I will not. Oh. Now, did you hear did you get what I just said? Yeah. Okay. I just forgot what I just said, so I'm trying to gather my thoughts.
You're trying to find something to hate.
I will do, yeah, I got to find something. I'm going to go out on a limb today, and I'm going to say there's probably something I'm going to say today that would probably get me in trouble with a hate crimes police or somebody. Just out on a limb with that. But instead of endorsing a political candidate, which I can't, really, I can't think of any that God has just put in my heart that I can endorse. There may be some that I'm not aware of, so I'm not saying that. I'm just saying God hasn't put that in my heart to do. So what instead I would like to do today is denounce, instead of endorse, denounce the current administration by name. Namely, Barack Obama, Harry Reid, and Nancy Pelosi. They all need to be replaced. Now, the problem is, I don't believe I can endorse anybody that I know of by name who's in the wings to replace them. That's a sad state of affairs. But for the love of God, they need to go. For the love of this country and what the damage they're doing, they've got to be replaced by somebody. The day that Emperor Hirohito signed the surrender documents, the very day he did that, Ho Chi Minh declared that Vietnam was now the independent Democratic Republic of Vietnam. When one evil regime goes, it's not an automatic thing that good will prevail at that moment. These are dangerous times. These are transitional times. Our enemy will take advantage of transition if he can. I'd like to say, for the record, homosexuality is a sin. And the proliferation of homosexuality in a society foreshadows the fall of that culture. If we don't want to see the demise of our nation, we better stand up and tell the truth about homosexuality, because it's one of the final straws that Rome endured before it fell and on down through history. I'm going to minister some things here in just a little bit. I'm maybe making it hard on Lee here. I hope not. But I know the Lord is God. And whenever we stand to worship and sing and praise Him, He's well above anything I've been saying or anything. So I trust that. But I just want to say this before we pray and begin the rest of the service. Because it's in recent memory, I have the visual of this that I guess I'll never forget. And that is in 1989. I was hoping Nathan might be here. I don't see him right now. But 1989, there was a revolution in Romania. And I remember the images of the sea of people around some large government building. I don't know if it was the presidential palace or the seat of government. I'm not sure. Some big building in Romania, where Nicolae Ceausescu would come out on the balcony and address all the people. Do you remember that? We found out later from men like Charles van Wyk in South Africa that the communists would intimidate large group numbers of people and say, you better be there to make it look good for the cameras. And people would act, a sea of people would be there, but most of them were there because they were afraid not to be there. It wasn't that they were for it or for Ceausescu much of the time. In that situation, on Christmas Day of 1989, Ceausescu and his wife were taken into custody, charged with genocide, which I spent last night looking over the photographs of the dead bodies, many of them holding their own children, dead. Babies, small children, all ages, dead bodies, in all the towns where they would kill people and lay them out so the people, every time you went to the market, every time you did anything, you had to walk past the dead, rotting bodies to intimidate you into submission. So they were charged with genocide on Christmas Day. Amen. Amen. Amen to that. Amen. And they had a two-hour trial that was televised on TV. Impromptu trial, 2 hours, found guilty, taken outside the building, and shot by a firing squad.
Awesome.
The firing squad consisted of a captain in the army, a sergeant in the army, and a private. They said hundreds volunteered to be on the firing squad. After that happened, when the news came out that it was done, I remember the visual of that same government building, that same balcony, with a sea of people around it, as we had seen before, as Ceausescu would give these long, terribly long speeches and expect everybody to clap. When they announced that he was found guilty and had been executed, and the people rejoiced. They jumped up and down and they cheered at the news. And this week I've been contemplating, could a Christian really do that? They don't shout me down.
Why not?
Well, here's the deal. We have a gospel in America that would say that's not a nice, godly thing to do, is to cheer when the one who has murdered your family members, tortured them, is no longer there, to keep on doing it. But my Bible says differently. And today I want to share some things and some principles with you, because we serve a God that is so great and so vast. There are unexplored aspects of our Heavenly Father in our generation, in our time, that we haven't really tapped. We haven't put every verse of this Bible on our refrigerator as a memory verse. There's a lot in here that we just have not mined out the truth and the gold out of just yet. But it's there. Always has been. Maybe our society didn't really need to know those things urgently about God's Word, that as we may need to know them in the future. But they're there. They are there. Is it a godly aspect and an attribute to rejoice when judgment befalls an enemy of God who deserved it? The Bible says yes. And I will show it to you abundantly so today, to create and lay a foundation for the coming years of our lives in this area. That's not the only thing to know, but it is an important thing. It's interesting that within a couple of months in Romania, they outlawed capital punishment. The last people to be killed and executed in Romania was Nicolae Ceausescu and his wife. And they were so tired of killing that they outlawed capital punishment altogether. They wanted life. They just wanted to. And I'm for capital punishment under the right circumstances. You understand that. But I'm talking about an entire culture that had known so much death. They didn't want any more. And I hope one day to get Nathan to share on some of these kind of things. Or maybe his dad, if he's in the country, to maybe talk some more about these things. But I remember that day. And I look forward in our culture, and it may not involve a firing squad, I don't know. I'm sure there are incremental, you know, things that could be implemented besides that, but I look forward to the day when light is shined on darkness, and those who have chosen to reject Christ and take a path of an enemy of God are recognized for who they are, and they are dealt with severely by the justice and the judgment of God. I look forward to that day. I'm not afraid of that. And I'm not afraid to say that as a man from the pulpit. Yes, there's the grace of God. Yes, there is the mercy of God. But the Bible says, behold, the severity of God as well. Those are the ones we haven't put yet on the refrigerator, but we will. Amen. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to get started this morning.